people and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjo, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Shift and Stare. I'm Brad Fanshaw, and I'm here with Motorator Matt DeAndrea and Double Aaron Hagar. Welcome. It's going to be a great hour of motorsport talk.
Blah, blah, right.
Yeah.
Great. Welcome to the party, pal. Hey, this is it. We are talking. Hey, I just thought we would talk about. It is cold outside almost everywhere that we're ears on today. And so with cold hitting hard, so are we, with some great talk and some stories and stuff like that. I'm going to start right out. Are you guys familiar with Muscle Palooza, the events that Hemmings used to put on?
No.
They're really cool. Being a muscle car guy, I was always really interested in these. And it was Muscle Palooza were these events that they did primarily on the East Coast back then, but it was like stock drags. So if you had a muscle car that was like restored to, you could have like gears, you could have headers, but they also had a pure stock class. And it was pretty cool because if you really wanted to see what a GTO or a Chevelle really did in bone stock trim, you could kind of see it, and you'd see these cars on their F78 bias ply tires spinning the wheels and everything. It's pretty neat. Well, I think it might have been the pandemic that, you know, kind of drove those away, like a lot of things, but they're back. And this year they're bringing them back. They're going to have Maple Grove Raceway in Pennsylvania on April the 13th, Dragway 42 in Ohio on May 11th. Then they're coming out our way to Firebird Raceway in Phoenix. That's yet to be determined what the actual date is. But then Orlando Speed World. Now, Aaron, do you know what state that would be in?
Florida.
Ding, 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 ding. Boy, you are on it. You know your drag strips. I love that. October the 12th.
I'm looking 12th. At the website.
But I hope you didn't have to look at the website to see that Orlando Speed World was in.
Yeah, Orlando, Florida. Orlando, Wisconsin.
but it's pretty cool. They have big car show. They have the drags. They've added burnout contest. And, it's just a cool event. A little bit more low-key than some of the big good guys where they're just these massive and, you know, it's muscle cars. So if you're into muscle cars, that's cool. Are you guys into muscle cars?
I've heard
not so much.
Not so much? Okay, yeah.
I've heard of muscle cars.
Then Matt's cool and you're not because, you know, Matt and I like muscle cars.
I'm a total Euro nerd. I like weird Euro microcars and shit. Oh, boy, you guys.
Sticking with the Hemmings event theme for a moment, we know that the Grand National Roadster Show is coming up, and thank goodness they moved it back this year, because in the past there were years where it would happen simultaneously overlapping Barrett Jackson. And I know I've had a couple years where I've, you know, like flew over from Pomona, you know, go on Friday, then fly over to Barrett Jackson. And guys like Bobby Alloway would be coming hopscotching back and forth because they were judging and doing stuff like that. But this year it's February 2 through the 4th. And Hemmings is doing a really interesting thing there. We know that Hemmings really is the Bible of parts. And, you know, way before the internet, that was where we all went. I used to subscribe to that thing. I couldn't wait for it to come in the mail and start thumbing through the Hemmings book to try and find the parts I needed. But they're doing a deal this year. They've teamed up with the Grand National Roadster Show, and 50 people can buy spaces, and they're doing what they're calling the Hemmings Car Corral. And so it's like $175. You get a reserved spot all 3 days of the show, and you get listed on the Hemmings electronic car corral, but you get to sell your car. And so people are coming out. They get a reserve spot. They get two tickets for each day of the show, early admission, and a reserve spot in this area. Pretty interesting, though, because if guys are looking to buy a car and want to do it one-on-one rather than through an auction, kind of an interesting concept. Yeah. And they get to see the show as well. So if you want to sell your car, I heard their space is still available. Hemmings Car Corral, February 2 through the 4th at the Grand National Roadster Show. You guys going to go to the Grand National Roadster Show?
Probably not.
About it. Thinking about it, I didn't go last year. Maybe I went the year before. I'm not exactly sure the last time I went.
I went out there last year on setup night. I always try and go out up on setup night. It's I get to see a lot of my builder friends. Everybody winds up at the Marriott bar afterwards and cocktailing it up, and everybody's some good stories to be told. And you get to see all the cars before the crowds are in there, and then we'll go back out like on Saturday. So I've already talked to a few people. We're going to go out, I think, for sure. Matt, if you're going to go, let me know. Maybe meet up out there or something on Saturday.
Yeah, it's coming up pretty quickly.
February 2nd through 4th. I don't think I'll be able to make that one. And I won't be able to make Autorama in May because I think that's our rally. Boy, I'm already
busy. You can't go anywhere, can you?
You know what? Yeah, I wasn't shoveling snow, and now I'm just scheduled out, man.
Now that you don't have excuses and everybody knows it, you get to they're all booking your time.
Yeah.
But that'll be good. You know, Barrett Jackson coming up, and then there's a SEMA event, MPMC, that's coming up. I'm gonna do a day over there. And then then maybe the Roadster Show. You were talking about muscle cars earlier, and
I was
just today. I popped over real quick to Gabriel Iglesias's car collection. The comedian Fluffy,
oh, yeah,
nicest guy, and he's just huge as a comedian. By the way, I think he's the only comedian to sell out Dodger Stadium. Anyway, I was just chatting with his crew, and I brought over, you know, a case of Bravago for those guys, and just kind of got a quick little tour of his collection. And you can see it online. It's been out there, but yes, he loves the Volkswagen vans, the Volkswagen bus. I think he's got about 18 of them in his collection.
18 of them?
Yeah. They're just like all lined up along a wall. And he's actually got a very, very cool spot. It's a really well groomed spot. The building is gorgeous. The interior, the exterior, everything is really cool. So he's got a whole bunch of he's got VW bugs. He's got all the buses, some rare stuff in there, some pretty expensive buses in there, but he has a collection of muscle cars as well that I don't think many people know about. I'm pretty sure he's got, a couple of the, you know, 70s GM cars. He's got them all in there, and he's got some modern stuff, his Dodge Demon, and he's got an old BMW in there. He's got a pretty new Porsche 911 Turbo, which is really cool. Audi R8, which is gorgeous. And I think like the first car that he got when he was like getting money was like a 94 Mustang Cobra. And he's got one up there that's like a mint condition Cobra, because he just liked it when he was, you know, a teenager. And he's like, well, now I can get one. So he's got that kind of stash back there as well. But anyway, cool collection. If you guys want to look that up online, I know he's been on J-Lo's Garage a bunch of times and brought several cars over. So there's plenty of articles and stuff written about what he has there. But it was nice to get a quick little tour of what's going on over there. Unfortunately,
he's got a Trans Am too.
Yeah.
Black Firebird.
I think he had a Dodge Demon 170 and then maybe recently traded it or sold it or something. But yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's got a nice place over there. It's really kind of cool. I don't know who drives the Hummer EV, but there was a Hummer EV in the parking lot. You don't see many of those because they only sold a handful. They're well, those, huge. The brand new one. It's big, yeah. It's fast, and this was a white one. And it's,
wow.
I saw like one in my neighborhood just yeah. yesterday on my way to work, and there's one that's white, all bone stock. This guy, I'd never seen it before. He comes pulling down the hill, and he had it wrapped in like a matte kind of a bronze color. It looked really good that way. Everything looked really good. The only problem was he put some wheels on it that looked like it had to be the dealer that put them on, because here's this expensive EV. It's wrapped. It looks really great. And it had the cheapest Chinese wheels on it that.
Oh, no.
And they stuck out a good 3 inches past the body line of the truck. And I'm just like, oh, God, what are you doing here, man? You know, but
that's kind of a weird thing, because my Ford Lightning, and there's YouTube video up, one of the YouTube shorts, making a longer video, I'm doing wheels on the Lightning, and I'm putting on the Carroll Shelby wheels from Holley, right? Because
yeah, I saw that.
They have a wheel specific for the F-150 that they do on all of their high performance F-150s. And they fit the Lightning because it's the same bolt pattern, same size. And the Platinum is a 22-inch wheel. And it's got the load rating and all that. So it goes on pretty easy. But I was, I was talking to some friends about tires. And it was like, well, do you go with the same 275, 50, 22, or to go to a 285, 45, because there's more tires available. And I go, well, it's a slight difference in diameter. And honestly, it's like, I don't know how to compensate for that in the vehicle. Does it do it automatically? Because there's no like tuning device, you know, to change, to calibrate a tire, right? And I don't know what it does for range, going to a 285, going into maybe a more summer tire, more stickier tire. Does it change range? Does it change performance? Holley sent me one of their like Trinity MX dash monitors, but the dash monitor, it's cool because you can monitor everything from battery to battery health, longevity, how much power you're using, you know, all kinds of stuff, performance meters, whatever, but there's no tuning capabilities like on most gas engine vehicles, even though it still plugs into OBD2. The features that were any type of tuning, not just engine tuning, but any features where you're like, oh, I'm going to dial in a gear ratio change, or I'm going to dial in a wheel and tire change and change, you know, or if I'm going to go to off-road tires and I'm going to lift it, like there, people are modifying the trucks, but I don't know how they're dialing in that stuff unless they're nailing exactly the same diameter tire.
Well, that one, I can't even answer for you, because I have not done a Lightning or messed with them at all. So,
on the Jeep, there's a little tool, you know, you can put into the OBD2 and pair it. And then I changed my wheel size and I turned off start stop and you can do a couple other things. There's got to be something like that out for those.
Yeah, it's not a feature that's in this tuner. So this is more of a performance monitor than it is a tuner. If you had a gas engine vehicle and you bought this device, the gas engine version, it's all the same software, just the tuning features are turned off in the EV. But it's weird because the tuning features, even like wheel calibration, wheel and tire like calibration, it doesn't seem to be available. I'll dig into it some more. I haven't really played around with it too much.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to have to look into that too. That's a good question.
I mean, if you just did a slight variation. So I guess on the Hummer EV that you were talking about, maybe they figured it out, or maybe he's just throwing all kinds of error codes.
Maybe they just, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When he drives around, you know, but, I just don't want to like drive down the street. Once you hit something like 30 miles an hour, it goes into some fail safe mode and it won't go above 30 miles an hour. And you're
that
just
would suck.
Well,
you're getting on the freeway, and as soon as you get to speed, it goes blah.
Yeah, it just stops.
well, being an EV too, it may have a GPS speedo, which would calibrate to that anyway, so it doesn't matter what tire size you have on there. But like the Jeep is all analog as far as that goes, so I have to tell it, I have to measure and tell it that the millimeters or inches of the actual tire diameter.
Yeah, which is common now with a lot of devices. You can tune stuff. You can dial that in. It's, you know, like you're saying. So that's pretty common. But you're right.
And that'll all work till the satellites fall out of the sky.
I don't know if next week. I don't know if the Speedo is mechanical in any way, or is it completely like GPS or what? I think it's
all by wire now. You know, it's just all,
well, for sure. Yes, digital display and everything. But yeah, I don't know if there's something spinning,
some
a
kind
gear
of sensor in, is what you're saying. That's spinning. Yeah.
Those are pretty high tech. And back with the Hummer too, Brad. Doesn't speaking of wheels and tires, don't those EVs still have these self-flating wheels and stuff too? So would that even work with an aftermarket wheel?
I don't believe they
do. Or is it the hub?
Yeah, it's just a hub that you can add. Hey, on a totally different subject, because I was going to get into it. We were talking about Barrett Jackson. Matt brought up Barrett Jackson. And something that I wanted to mention is that we were talking about Barrett Jackson. However, the last 2 years coming out of the pandemic, RM had gone virtual. And this year they're back at the Biltmore. Or was it just 1 year?
I think just 1 year. Gooding stopped and they went to online. So Gooding's out. Gooding doesn't have a physical.
But RM's back.
There,
but, and yeah. One of the things I noticed was something that I hadn't ever followed. But do you guys remember the 84 Quattro, Audi Quattros, the sport Quattros? They had like a bulged body and stuff like that.
Yeah, those were badass.
They were cool. And you could pick them up for nothing in the 90s.
Yeah.
They've got one and their estimate on it is $575,000 to $700,000.
Whoa.
I was like, what? Oh, I was like, whoa. What?
Wow.
And, and you know what? I looked at it and it looks as cool as I remember it. They're just, cause they were short, they were boxy, but they had those big bulged flares. And, it was just a rad little car.
Is that coming up at Arizona or is it one of their online?
It's in Arizona. Yeah. It's
that's crazy. But hey, all right.
I'm pulling it up right now. It says,
I'm kind of hoping to get by there during the preview day. Just to
I'd like to stop over there on Thursday also. And, but yeah, it says, one of 214 sport Quattros constructed, believed to be the only one of only examples delivered to Japan. 5,400 original miles. And
so that would have been a two-door, right? The Sport Quattro?
Yeah. And you know, now here's why it's way up there in dollars is because it does have the original jack and owner's manual. So that's why that's up there.
It makes a difference. I'm telling
you.
Yeah,
it does.
I mean, it's not nothing. It's like you see some of these cars where they're just selling the jack and manuals on Bring a Trailer.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. But
especially old Ferraris and stuff. Jeez.
Speaking of Ferraris, RM has a Ferrari FF 150 to 200. I know you got your eye on one of those. You got to sell more wheels.
I know. Aaron likes those.
I like
too.
Those, man.
I would love
I like
to have one
FFs.
Of those roll around in.
Yeah.
It's always interesting, you know, and it is. For anyone who's never been to RM in Scottsdale, if you want polar opposites of Barrett Jackson, that is it. That is it, man.
I've always said, if you get a chance to go to RM and walk around the preview of the cars and just it's different. It's not a huge event with, you know, concerts and vendors. It's just an auction, but to walk around the hotel there and see some of these cars is cool. It's cool to see.
It's funny. Is Russo and Steele still a thing over there too?
No, they're pretty much wrapped up.
Driver.
I liked that one because they had an all alloy 120 Jaguar that was all done. It was all in bare metal, and they had a Tatra that they had a Czech car, which I think was the same one that they used in a film. I forget which film. Anyway, it was very cool. They're a very strange and unique car, and they were rear engine, and they had this massive. I think it was a V8 rear engine, and they were just so fast, like back in the '50s and early '60s. but they're really, really strange cars. But they had one of those, and I was like, okay, I got 25 grand. I can do up to 25 grand. It sold for twice that. I was like, oh man, I wanted it so bad. But I've never seen one for sale ever.
And and talking about auctions, did you guys see the results from Mecum and Kissimmee?
Oh, the Ferrari results were...
Well, no, just everything. I
the
mean,
whole auction was...
Oh my God, the money was just like flowing.
I think it ended up being the most gross revenue in car sales of a live auction, live automotive auction ever. I think.
Yeah. I mean they
it's
were
a,
just
long. It's like a week long or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
It's
really nuts.
But I mean, the cars they had, I mean, you know, they had some really rare Ferraris, they, you know, like, you know, Californias and you know, stuff like that. And
UTOs,
you know, cars
and
going for $17 million. And it was pretty impressive because, you know, Mecum doesn't usually have those type of cars. So that was pretty incredible. But yeah, I'm with you, Matt. Going over and walking around over at RM is always nice. It's you go on that preview day, like, you know, Wednesday or Thursday. It's very low key. They've got the cars in the parking garage and a few out on the grass. And it's a real, real nice setting. Real nice setting.
You know, one of the cars that RM has, first of all, they have the XJ 220, the Jack that I love. I still think that's an undervalued car for $500,000. I still think you buy that car. It's an underrated supercar. It just doesn't get as much love because of the six cylinder engine in it. But a car that never really seemed to move much is, for those of you familiar with the Shelby Series 1.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
And they're just $100,000 cars. They've just kind of always been $100,000 cars. I just don't know why they never really moved.
They should be $100,000 cars.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not really a fan. I get it.
But, you know, it's kind of the last of what Carroll Shelby was doing. I think the GM parts bin really kind of hurt this thing. The switch gear and stuff on the interior, and then the engine they ended up going with. It was a V8, but it wasn't a very good.
It was a Buick motor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or was it Olds?
I think it was a Buick.
A Buick or an Olds. I can't remember, you know, I had told you before, we did the watches for that. You know, that was when we were working with Shelby.
Yeah.
And we did, you know, where you could get, if you owned a, you know, a real Shelby, you could get your watch with your, and that was Shelby. But then we did the Series 1 watches, and I went over to Vegas when they were building them and stuff, and I don't know, they just never got me that excited. I just,
they have carbon fiber bodies?
I believe they did, yes. And, but, you know, a McLaren Speedtail gets me a little more excited.
It does, but you can't get it for $100,000.
Okay.
And you can't drive
it. A Ferrari FF gets me a little more excited.
That's actually true. I think the FF, well, the FF's going to be a nicer car to drive.
I could drive that thing every day and, you know, just, you know. But speaking of the McLaren Speedtail, they've got one at RM, and it's $2 to $2.5 million. And,
You know, we've talked about builders, and on CarCast, we had just recently Goldberg and I were talking with Craig Jackson, and we were talking about, Brad, what you and I have mentioned a few times is the notable builders, hot rod builders, are now getting good money for their cars after the fact. Old Boyd cars are getting good money at Barrett Jackson. Alloway cars, Troy Trepanier cars, Ring Brother cars, like, they're all pulling in money. This no longer is it, you know, Chip Foose builds you a car for $600,000 and it's a Barrett 2 years later for $87,000. Like, it's pretty decent money. And we're seeing it with, like, Jonathan Ward, his Icon Broncos, definitely with Singer cars. Singer cars are $1 million in the aftermarket. And it's nice to see that Rod Emery's cars are getting money. At RM, they've got one of his 356 Outlaws that's an Emery car. It's a modified hot rod, you know, one of the outlaw Porsche. You know, one of the little bathtub cars, I guess. The estimate on that car is $650,000 to $800,000.
Wow.
On that car. And there's not a lot of car there.
Right. You know?
I like Rod Emery. He's a really, he's a good guy, and he builds some really, really nice stuff. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of these Porsches, these little 356s, but
Tub Buddies, we used to call
them. Yeah, it's nice to see that, you know, the estimate is healthy on this car, because this is, it's a cool car. If you're, if you're into this type of Porsche, this is a cool car. Little 2.6.
I like them, and they're fun to drive, because for that era of car, they're real spirited. The problem with them, and even with Emery's suspension, is that they're really limited to how they handle. I mean you can drive them hard, but they're just the geometry of them and how they exist is not the best handling. I used to smoke those things in my little 58 Alpha back in the day. I used to race against them all the time, and the Alpha had such more advanced suspension than the little 356s did. But
you know, on his outlaw cars, he's doing, you know, four-wheel disc brakes and rack and pinion steering and air conditioning and some downender. Yep. I don't know how much he gets into, like you're saying, what you can do with the suspension without.
He does. He has a suspension package. So we had a yellow one in our Napa 750 rally last year. And it's actually the cover car this year. So I have to do a painting of it real soon, I believe. But So we actually had this exact discussion about its handling. I actually drove it, you know, through the parking lot, and it, man, that thing drove tight. I mean, it's like, wow, this is a 356.
He's got a 2.6 liter that he hot rods with, you know, fuel injection and cam and new oil, you know, cooling and all kinds of stuff, and MoTeC fuel injection controller and cam sensors.
This had all that.
And he's getting 260 horsepower at it. I'm wondering, like, 260 doesn't sound like a lot, but it's 100 horsepower per liter, and it only weighs 2,000 pounds. So
yeah,
I bet it scoots around pretty good.
Do they weigh that much? 2,000? I think they weigh a little less. Wow.
I think his car, with the modern stuff, the bigger brakes and maybe some sound deadening. AC and just some things, like, you add up, like, you could put, you know, 60 pounds of dynamite in a car. No,
exactly.
Problem.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And all of a sudden you're like, hey, am I at, my 1900 or am I at 2000 pounds?
If you see the bright yellow one with the louvered rear quarters, that's the car that was at our rally last year.
Yeah, I saw it photographed. I saw it published online. But
it's a beautiful car. Even
another cool car
yellow
to see. So another cool thing to see at RM, Brad. I don't know when you guys are going out. I'm going to head out like Wednesday night.
I'm going Friday, staying Saturday, leaving Sunday.
I'm going over on Wednesday. I'm going to be there Wednesday morning. So
I'll be out there Wednesday.
Yeah.
Through Sunday, I guess. So I'll be at Barrett, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm going to swing by RM Thursday, I believe.
Well, you got your eyes on that 2008 Maybach?
I was thinking about it. I mean, they do have a Porsche. They have a Rolls-Royce Phantom, which, I don't know, it's $500,000 when it's new, and now it's like $100,000-$150,000.
Well, I mean, that's what's funny. The Rolls-Royce Phantom, stretched Rolls-Royce Phantom, is 100 to 150. It's a 2010. The Maybach is 100 to 150, and it's 2008. I'd take the Rolls-Royce any day over the Maybach.
I would too. I think the Rolls-Royce is overall just a nicer car.
It will,
I don't remember driving the
much nicer, I think, than the Maybach.
That car is going to age nicer.
Yeah.
The Maybach already looks dated.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, there's going to be some cool stuff out there for sure.
Did you see the very first car in their listing, the American Bantam Roadster?
Yes.
I had one of those.
Did
all
you?
Black. It was bone stock, just like that one, almost perfect. And I had to get rid of it just because of space constraints. But what I wanted to do is build
space
some...
Space was
like
a concern?
What?
Space was a concern with this thing?
Let's just
this
say
the size
was...
of a go-kart.
It was easy to get rid of, but you know, it was just a neat, fun little car. I was going to build some big billet wheels for it and stuff and like that. But we did one of those at Boyd's, almost identical. I actually thought it was this car when I first saw it. that we put a little GM four cylinder in and put a narrowed GM rear end under it and all kinds of stuff, because it was Mickey Mouse's parade car at Disneyland. And so it had to be totally like over engineered and safe. And then it had all these limiters on it where it wouldn't go over like, you know, like 2 miles an hour and stuff like that. And it was crazy. It was, but it was one of those. It was really cool.
That's an interesting project to build. Yeah. Interesting that they went to Boyd's for that.
Well, you know, Boyd knew all the people there from when he worked at Disneyland. He was, before he started Hot Rods by Boyd, he was, he worked on rides. In their machine shop, they would break apart and they would bring it in. He would work overnight. He would work. And when he started Hot Rods by Boyd originally, he would work nights at Disneyland and then go to his hot rod shop and build for a while, then go nap and then go back to work. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's how he got started. That's what brought him to California. So,
oh, what a trip. Huh.
Yeah. Interesting. Ford had a big announcement this past week and leaning into racing. We knew they were going to get into racing as much as they possibly can with the Mustang and other things. So they've got some pretty interesting things.
Are you talking about Farley saying that the government is banning gas engines?
I heard that. That's definitely a mixing of words.
Out of context.
Way out of context. He said he's going to build gas engines until the government bans them. It doesn't mean the government's going to do it. I like that they're all in on this. They unveiled some GT3 race cars. We've seen the race cars previously, like Detroit Auto Show and stuff, and their intention to race. But now that they've got teams and stuff lined up and the liveries unveiled, and they're going to do the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship and the FIA World Endurance Championship. Cool cars, good looking cars based off of the new Mustang. Another cool car is Bob Tasca's funny car, based off of like the design. As much as you can make a funny car look like an actual car, it's mostly stickers, but it looks cool. They did a 2024 Mustang inspired dark horse and turned it into the Bob Tasca funny car. It's cool. It's cool looking.
It is. I saw that one. That's very cool. You know what other one caught my eye was the IMSA car that's black and gold.
Yeah.
That livery looked great. But those wings on those cars, don't they look like, they look like, you know, there's no support. I mean, I know there is.
Yeah.
But you know that those two arms must be so rigid and so strong because the downforce that's going to hit that wing, and there's just that those two supports.
So you start looking at these cars, and the big unveiling at Monterey was the Mustang GTD, which is their kind of supercar version. And the rumor that went around was Jim Farley was there at Multimatic looking at the racing cars that they're developing, and he was like, can we make a street car version of it? And when I asked him that, he said, yeah, that's pretty much the truth, like that's what happened. So you look at the GTD, and yeah, coming off of the back sort of pillars, C pillars, I guess, of the car is where the wing attaches to. The racing cars have that same theme going on. So there's a lot of the GTD street car into the race cars because of how they've influenced each other. It's an interesting design. I'm sure there's some testing and aero and all kinds of other things that are in effect on this thing. It is kind of interesting. It's not coming off of the rear deck, and that with the wing that high, right, you're getting it in clean air, but not coming off the rear deck. Now there's no obstruction out the rear window.
True.
Right? If it was coming off the deck, even just a couple of stanchions off the deck could often block your view. So this, maybe that's kind of the thought here was, maybe when you're driving that car, you don't even see the wing out the back.
You probably don't, because it's might see a little bit in your peripheral of the struts, but that's it, man. That thing's up high. It's up off the window pillars, and it's
exactly. It looks like it's high enough that you probably don't even see it. That's a gorgeous, gorgeous car, man.
Yeah.
The other thing that they debuted was called the F-150 Switchgear. And Switchgear is a project that they work with Von Gittin Jr., his RTR company. And they basically took a Ford F-150 Lightning, and in the interior, they just threw in like five Recaro off-road seats with harnesses, which I think they did on one of their other vehicles, or maybe the van or something, to make it kind of a demonstration vehicle they can do ride-alongs with. But they did a bunch of off-road suspension, basically like Raptor suspension on an F-150 Lightning. Now, the powertrain is unchanged, but they, which it's got plenty of power, right? It's 580 horsepower, 775 pound-feet of torque. The fenders and the bed and stuff are all now carbon fiber, but with steel skid plates and stuff around it. So
fenders are really cool with the wide body and the big vents in them. And
So if you think the Ford Raptor is wide, I think this thing is something like 6 inches wider than a normal Raptor.
Wow.
37 inch tires on it, 3 inch diameter Fox internal bypass shocks.
Looks like it has a Lynxwell in it. Lynxwell dash.
Yeah, that's basically what mine has is that's the factory dash on it. Now, they said they're going to be doing a street version of the truck where they eliminate the skid pads and the rockers and the steel stuff, and they have a carbon fiber like bumper cover, and it's supposed to be lowered a bit, but they've only released the rendering of that, not the build of it. So I don't know if there's another event or if they're going to do it or not. But it's anyway, it's kind of cool. There's been a lot of talk of, will you get an electric Raptor? Will you get sort of a, everybody keeps saying the EV Raptor, but maybe more like a Tremor, that version of it. Because Tremor is already a version that's out.
Maybe they'll have the Shockwave or the Aftershock or the
a little shaker.
Anyway, so they got a bunch of videos of Von Gittin flying this thing through the air quietly.
Quietly. Yeah, he's all ripping around out in the dirt and everything.
Yeah.
I don't love the livery, but the truck itself is very, very cool. And those remote shocks are pretty neat too. If you've seen those under the frunk, there's like these little stand-up remote shocks where you can adjust them at the top. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's got cool pieces on it. It's a cool looking truck, but I don't know if there's going to be any influence on a production version after this. This is why, you know, it wasn't built at the factory. This is commissioned by Ford to RTR to develop this thing. So anyway, it looks kind of fun.
Their press conference was that they are in racing. They're really committed to it. And, you know, all types. I mean, you know, they've gone in deep with F1 with Red Bull and their engine program. And
yeah, that's true.
You know, and there's a lot.
And at Goodwood, they had the super van. The super van is something that they've been building a few of over the years for a long time now, but they brought out this all electric super van, which I don't know. It's like 2000 horsepower. It's a liquid cooled.
We talked
50
about
kilowatt battery.
Rad. Yeah,
it's all wheel drive, 0-60 in less than 2 seconds. Yeah, right.
It was gorgeous.
I guess they had it out at another event, and Farley was driving it. And he was just like tearing up tires and burnouts and giving people rides.
Wow!
And he was doing the driving in it. So anyway, it's cool to see he's having a good time with it. Yep. And I like that Ford is capitalizing on his love of competition and racing. And I think they would have a much harder time trying to reel him in as opposed to just embracing it and letting him go out there and do his thing. I can't imagine what the insurance costs.
I know. The very first thing I thought was having the president of Ford driving people around doing burnouts. That's good. They're probably like going, when he got back to the office, what are you thinking about? You know, he's like, hey, Bandimere Speedway in Colorado got sold. Just like California Speedway got sold. And they're going to close it down. We won't have a speedway here anymore. But Vandermeer got bought by Copart. We know Copart as being the guys. And you know what they're going to use it for? Part? The store cars that are waiting auction.
God.
There it goes.
That's terrible.
That just came across my phone as we were sitting here talking. That
why do they have to buy a racing track for that?
Maybe it's paved and they can
line them up
really
paved.
Nice. And no, it's probably because it already has all the pit area and all that. And they can just, they don't have to buy something and then asphalt it. They can just ruin a drag strip for it. So,
yeah. But, I mean, they're not ruining the drag strip. If the drag strip's up for sale and they're going to sell it, then it's either going to end up being condos or a Walmart or something. So I don't blame them for buying it. They're not the ones ruining it. They're just,
well, why couldn't they just like at least say, we're going to store cars there, but our employees are going to drag race it.
Absolutely. I would do that.
You know, I mean, that'd be cool.
I mean, certainly for the first, you know, first few days I've owned it, I would just have friends over racing everything we could bring.
Exactly.
It's going to be for their YouTube channel. It's going to be, does it still run?
Yeah. Right.
we tested on our personal drag strip.
No, we're going to have a guy on the show sometime coming up here from Copart. He's reached out to me a couple times. I don't know if he reached out to you, Matt, but he's the marketing director there, and he's got some really interesting things. Like, he got a hold of me one day. He goes, hey, I want to tell you about these exotic cars that we've got that were, you know, and what you could get them for and what's wrong with them and stuff like that. And he's got some interesting subjects. I thought it'd be kind of fun, because people always dream of, man, what if I got like this Lamborghini at the junkyard and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's tried to do it with an FF. Yeah.
That's what Tavarish does, right?
For yes, exactly. Like,
that's what they name do. A bunch, and he's just, he's got to be their best customer, probably.
I know.
I think that's where he got his P1. I remember him like telling me about it.
I think
and
so, too.
And
between Copart and Fair Parts.
Yeah, and he brings them all to Florida. It's weird.
Yeah, so they can get flooded again. So, before we wrap up today, I just, you know, we're always talking about Tesla's electric vehicles and stuff like that. And we have seen on the news all week about how Teslas or electric cars in general, you know, at chargers and they're not charging and they're not holding their charge and they're, you know, all this. Well, I've got a firsthand story, and this guy is a friend of mine back in the Midwest, and he had a Tesla, and he goes, listen, there's some truth to it, and there's some being just overblown, just like the thing about Farley, you know, that we talked about earlier in the show. He said he did have to stop at two different chargers to get home, because he goes, I live in one city and I drive to another, and he goes, I charged up, and he goes, but he goes, first of all, it takes a lot longer to charge in the below, you know, like it was 20 below where he was, you know, and he goes, it took a long time. And he said he had to sit in his car wrapped in a blanket because he goes, you can't have the heater cranking or it won't charge. And he goes, that is what he was getting at was, he goes, all these people are sitting there blocking the chargers. He goes, they got their cars running with the heaters cranked. And he goes, basically they're putting 5% of energy in because everything else is being used as it's coming in to run the heater. And he goes, I turned mine off, charged it up in like 20 minutes, and I was down the road. He goes, but then I would turn the heater on and it would just go in the cold. Wow. And he said he had to stop one other place just to get home. But he goes, most of the people, he called them something that began with an M. I can't remember. But he goes, they're sitting there with their heaters cranked, their stereo going, and he goes, and can't figure out why they're not getting a charge, you know? And he goes, but so it's a little bit of user error and a little bit of batteries don't charge in the cold, especially that cold, you know?
20. Oh, yeah. That's it. I just sent you guys on Instagram. Someone sent me a video of a lifted Prius.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I figured you had, but.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's
pretty funny.
Oh my God. What is on there?
Yes.
Is that a pizza delivery thing on the top? Like,
yeah. You know, someone's having fun with that.
Yes.
I think it's time to to mess with a Prius in 24.
Monster Prius.
So, Monster Prius.
Anyway. All right, guys. Well, hey, Matt, where can they find us online if they want to?
Yeah, check us out at shiftandsteer.com and Shiftsteer Media on social media. And you can find me at Moderator. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know what? I just found both of you. Matt, I found at Moderator, and Brad, I found at Bradley_Fanshawe. It was really easy. I just typed it in and there it was. In fact, I only typed in BR and Brad came up.
Amazing. Technology. It's almost like they knew.
I'm Aaron Hagar. You can find me all over. I'm pretty accessible.
So as Aaron said, I'm at Bradley_Fanshawe, not as he said on the last episode, Bradley underwhelming Fanshawe. Check my company out at bondspeedwheels.com or bondspeedwheels on Instagram. So till next week. We will be back next week, and that is a promise, not a threat. So shift and steer. Thanks, everybody.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.